Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Captain Sandy, why is there someone always on Anchor Watch?
You know, nondescript lesbian, that's a really, really good question. I don't know if you even saw it, really. It was just a small film, really. Went like that. Did you ever see the movie Titanic? Yeah. Remember, and there was a guy, and he was up there, and he was watching for icebergs. And, like, Jack and Rose were playing somewhere. I don't know. I wasn't paying attention to them. I was mostly thinking about the ship. They called it the Ship of Dreams. And you know what? He left his watch. And what happened?
I don't know.
People died. People died.
Record scratch.
That's why we're always on Anchor Watch. Because when we're not on Anchor Watch, people die. You know, I ran into pirates once. That's why I have Anchor Watch. I know other people don't do it. Sometimes there's a crew member or some kind of producer or engineer. But I want people on my boat to learn. Like I said, people die if there's not anyone on Anchor Watch. Pass the chutney.
Captain Sandy will never let go. Saying it now. She'll never let go.
She'll never let go of Anchor Watch. Because that is something. They asked Captain Lee one time why they don't do Anchor Watch on. He's like, I don't see really a need for it. Because there is someone usually from crew or like one of the engineers. He doesn't use a crew member. Captain Sandy, I think it's great for the show. But y'all, this is Below Deck OG. Strangely enough, with Captain Sandy, I'm still not used to it.
I'm not either.
Weird.
I'm here for it.
Can I say I'm very glad she's here on this season? Because only Captain Sandy would get ridiculously involved with a deck stew drama.
Oh.
Only Captain Sandy.
Oh.
Captain Lee would just ask them, do you think she's this is working for her, and talk to them. It's like, fire her.
Yeah, Fraser would just say, no, she's not, and fire her.
Well,
Captain Glenn would try to have a nice kind of teaching moment. Captain Jason would do some, you know, kind of like give her a helmet with sequins on it for every time she fucks up. But not Captain Sandy, because...
She wants to motivate these
especially
people.
Women. She wants to help Camille.
I want women on deck.
Lead her ship.
Because she really does have this dream, this like Amazonian dream of a ship staffed entirely
of women. That's where we're heading towards 1 year. Yes, this is Below Deck, season 10, episode 6. There's no crying and yachting.
Part two, which I don't remember part one.
Okay, I did not like the titling of this because they're saying it's part two from last week. And I'm like, but this episode ended to be continued. So is next week part three?
I was confused about the title.
I know.
And also the episode last week wasn't labeled part one.
That's what I'm saying. No, it was called His Watch Has Ended.
Y'all, you know I'm a stickler for rules like this.
No one cares about us.
No one really gives a shit but us.
Flying fuck.
Yeah. It was annoying.
Fuck.
It was annoying. Camille is not long for this boat, y'all. It's probably going to be the next episode.
Oh, yeah.
And here's why I think it's the next episode. If you noticed, there was no preview of next week.
No, I did notice that, too.
Yeah.
They did that last week, though. No, they did have a preview last week. They did. They did have a preview because we saw Captain Sandy saying,
Don't throw me under the bus.
And I went, you know when you watch television?
That's when you knew it was over.
Yeah. You know when you watch television and you enjoy it, but at the same time, you have to stop watching it because it gives you a little bit of anxiety?
Yeah.
That was a bit of this episode because Camille was so cringy, I had to stop and just go, I can't believe I'm watching someone do this.
I want you to use a different word than cringy because that's something people use. But no, keep going with that.
Well,
what about it made it hard to watch?
Well, I think what was cringy for me when I used that word is it was so, kind of like Captain Sandy said, but not passive aggressively, is like just, it doesn't have to be this way. It's so her own self-afflicted wounds that are just kind of oozing up from her constantly.
Yeah.
And the martyr. So that just, it's hard to watch in that it's so, and also it's so just emotionally unaware. And it's just like, boy, it's like watching someone take a dump in front of everyone.
It's secondhand embarrassment. You get secondhand embarrassment for her.
I'm just, ugh.
And it's true. The thing about what she does is I'm gonna be sad to see her leave because she has caused such a some great moments, and not good moments, but funny moments for us to talk about. If I was a casting person, I would have found her and went, she is perfect.
Oh, perfect.
And I think she could have stayed on the boat longer had she had any chill at all.
And she has no chill at all. But she thinks she's a Tania. Yes, I'm talking about 90 Day Fiance. She thinks she has all the chill in the world. Camille thinks she's the coolest girl in the room.
And that's the thing. I think if she was just a little more self-aware, I think we could have we could tolerate her a little more. Because she's awful. Don't get me wrong.
She doesn't give a shit about anyone.
She's a reprehensible human being. I think we would not have seen that dissolve so quickly had we not had a second stew like Alyssa, though. Because of the way Alyssa handles her, and this is the thing, if you give Camille a direct order, she's going to probably do it and give you an attitude, but if you do passive-aggressive things with that, she will freak out on you and realize you're being weak with her, and she will go give you that much back in return. And that's what she's done to Alyssa.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think this has gone as far as it had because Fraser's leadership has not been good. Just to be
honest.
I don't
think it's been great either, actually.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that conversation later. It's kind of a lot of this episode was a lot of that, which we'll get to.
Yeah.
But first of all, Tony's dizzy, poodle. Tony is so dizzy. That's my first teabag. Tony
is
dizzy because he has to work out in the afternoon and not in the morning, and it makes him dizzy witty.
I don't know why this is such a big plot point of this season.
I am upset we ever thought he was hot. I'm upset.
I just don't know why we're seeing so much of him. I think it's either...
Do you think he's going to leave? I think he might leave.
I don't care either way. that's where I am now. I find most of this crew
unappealing, with the exception of Haley, Fraser, and I kind of stopped then.
I agree.
Katie's a doormat. I don't enjoy her either.
They're unappealing in a lot of ways, but they're also, a lot of them are really great reality TV to watch, though.
I disagree with you there.
I think
there are people. I think there are people who have been on previous seasons who are much, much better TV.
Okay.
I think Eddie's a lot better television. I think someone like Malia is a lot better television. Like, even dirtbag bosuns are more entertaining television than Ross. Also, because it's a thing with Ross where you're not really sure about safety because he gets so drunk that he's in charge of things. So you kind of lose respect for him professionally.
Oh, yeah, I totally did. But I enjoyed watching him just make a fool of himself in that hot tub. But
it's a problem when you are a department head, though. They have to fire people like that.
Oh,
because
I'm not arguing with you. He's terrible to work in the ship, but I just think it's good television for us to watch. Again, it's this moment of like, I am embarrassed for you.
Yeah. To me, it's when you say good television, it's interesting you say that. I can be good television, but as soon as it gets to where things aren't safe, I tune out because I don't think it's safe.
Yeah, my safe word, ironically, in television goes farther than yours. Now, in real life,
ooh, I go up to the edge.
Yeah.
Ooh, don't say pamplemousse until the very end, y'all, until you're blacking out.
Just what's your next tea bag?
I don't have a ton. Most of the stuff we're going to talk about, the Camille, Fraser, Captain Sandy, debacle, Alyssa debacle. I don't know if you know this, but Gigi Fernandez has some gold medals. Did you know that?
Who travels around with their gold medals?
I'm not sure. I think it was obviously for the show, but we talked about those fucking medals for a long time.
Long time.
I'm
going
to say this
time.
Now. If anyone's listening out there with a gold medal, I think it's great that you have it. I don't need to see it because I'm going to accuse you of bragging when I see it. And I'm going to think less of you.
What if you had a gold medal for dick sucking?
You know, I still wouldn't carry it around with me.
Okay.
Still wouldn't carry it around with me. I would mention it in the same breath. Well, when I get my first medal for dick sucking. But I wouldn't carry it. Got to travel light.
I would think... What if you lose these medals? I mean, she probably did carry it because she's gone television.
That's
but
why.
But then when she mentioned that she has gold medals in pickleball.
I'm just like,
I said, okay, Gigi.
Woman, you had a great tennis career. You don't need to prove to us that you did this. I just found it a little gross.
It's the same way with the tip.
Yeah.
Although, y'all, ain't nobody got money like successful lesbians. Period. Period.
It's genetic. They know how to keep it, and they don't use a lot of it. They don't have kids, so
they don't have to do coke off some guy's dick like gay men without kids.
They're gonna leave it all to their dogs, so it's fine.
And your bed was from wealthy lesbians.
It was.
Right?
And it was a very expensive bed.
You have like a king size Tempur-Pedic bed with this like headboard, and they bought it for like 2 months, and then they broke up, and they just gave it to a slut.
That's half true, and I've already done a lot crazier shit than they ever did. I don't know if that's true, but she was leaving because she needed to go chase her ex-girlfriend through Europe, so she needed to get rid of everything. Yo, that is hashtag lesbian.
Rich lesbian through Europe.
Yes, they.
The poor
they
lesbian
were.
would chase the girlfriend through Alabama.
One was an anesthesiologist.
Yeah.
Y'all, I don't know if you know them. They do quite well for themselves.
They do quite well. Quite well.
leave them either dogs or their birds or whatever.
Why we've never been those gays? Because you know how a lot of times, they don't have it in this one, but a lot of times rich lesbians will travel in a pack of women, and then they will usually have like one or two gay men that they just bring along for entertainment. Yeah.
They're always awful. They're never really pretty. They're usually a little heavy set. They're like,
again,
they're attack gay.
We would be perfect.
Yeah, I don't think we're awful enough. Like, we're awful, but not awful enough. They're usually reprehensible.
I would go to St. Lucia.
The thing is, the wealthy gay men do have lots of money, and they're throwing it around. The thing is, they have to spend so much money on drugs. And lesbians,
sure, they do.
Lesbians can spend money on alcohol because it's cheaper.
Much cheaper.
So, yeah.
Much cheaper.
Drugs will really, really get you in the med, y'all.
Ooh. Oh.
Very expensive.
Very. I don't know.
So, anyway, so, yeah, she's got a lot of gold medals. I'm glad it was about 10 minutes of airtime that we talked about the fucking gold medals. What's your next teabag?
Speaking of queer culture, I'm going to say something because I've done it myself. Y'all, and I mean it when I say it, but I'm going to tell y'all this now. If you are a gay man, or anyone really, but especially a gay man, and you see a straight woman who is crying or looks upset, just compliment their eyeshadow or how beautiful they look, and they will immediately feel 50% better. Because when Fraser did that, I went, yeah, I do that a lot.
Yeah, that's your major thing. Yeah.
And it works.
I thought this was a huge failure of leadership, though.
As a leader, I would not have done that at all because it was completely not validating her feelings and experience. But as just a gay man, when a woman starts crying to me about her husband cheating on her in the produce aisle, which has happened, I just say, honey, you are so pretty when your eyes get like that. Are you using fake eyelashes?
You're so pretty when you're devastated.
No, they're my old eyelashes. And I said, well, they are so long and you're going to get a man in no time. And I mean it. I never do a compliment I don't mean, but still, it calms the situation.
Well, this was not a good time for that because... What should have happened for Fraser, this is, and we're going to touch on this when we talk about Camille more, but that moment where Alyssa was fighting with Camille, and instead of Fraser saying, how can I help you handle this? What's wrong? And let's handle this. Let me as department head say, okay, I need to go talk to her now, instead of building you up. And not even trying to fix that problem.
Yep.
It's so, and I like Fraser, but I think he's being really ineffective as the Chiefs do.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And I want to talk about it more later.
Yeah. And trust me, it can't be easy handling Alyssa and Camille.
It cannot.
It can't.
You could do it.
Yeah. I think I could. Well, I would be a very different Chiefs do.
Yeah.
First of all, I would never be on mornings.
Never.
I think the biggest problem is not anticipating the problem, the Alyssa, I think how she would deal with Camille, because I think if you read people really well, you already know that's the you guys have heard me bring up Kate Chastain before. Kate Chastain is a Shocker. Really good Chiefs dude because she can read people like a book. Immediately she knows. Fraser doesn't always cannot kind of figure that out. And it takes Agreed. Him a little bit longer. Now he realizes it. He knows what the places are. But he's not doing well with this group of interior, I think.
He's not.
Thank God Haley's there. If Haley was a problem, the ship would be a mess.
A mess.
Was that your teabag?
That was it, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
My next one, where is it? Let's see. Oh. Go to the next one.
I'm just going to say while you're looking, I realize why I'm so attracted to Ben, and it's because the only sport I ever pay attention to is tennis.
He does look like Nadal.
And Rafael Nadal is so fucking hot to me and always has been. Like, and that's it. That's 100% why I'm attracted to Ben. I get it now.
I think he's so much hotter. I went back and forth. I'm on the hot side of him. I think he's an idiot for rabbit fucking Camille in the bed. Boy, they showed that, and I was like, oh my God.
I don't understand. Can we just, we'll go to a commercial after this, but I just want to bring up, this isn't talking about the drama, but Ben and Camille, I don't get that.
You're not a straight man. She possesses every quality of desirable attractiveness for a straight man. Wow, you just showed.
That's true. I'm not a straight man.
She's exceptionally pretty in like a kind of Skinamax porn way.
This is true.
Yeah.
This is true. Yeah,
straight men want to fuck that.
Yeah, there was a girl on. I was working on her stuff, but you know how you watch. I'm in Dallas because I've got it. My mom's having a little minor surgery. I'm at my friend's house. And
you kind of live in Dallas.
I don't want to. I say a prayer for my mother on Thursday. She's having a little surgery. But anyway, I was flying here, and she looks like a girl that would star, who would just get to like a C-level film star status. Like, I was watching this movie. I had to look it up because it kept playing in someone's screen. It was just two women climbing up a huge, the whole plot of the movie was these women climb up a metal like antenna.
Yeah, I think it's called Fall.
It's just called Fall.
It's and supposed to be actually good. People liked it.
It was terrified. There at one point a woman was being eaten by a vulture, and I screamed on the plane.
Why were you watching on someone else's screen?
Because it was playing in my eyesight. It was eye line. It was right there. It was terrifying.
Why didn't you watch something?
Because I was watching Happily Ever After and watching Nicole and Azin's wedding, which, oh my God, y'all, I am so excited. I think we're going to do it next week. We just saw the watch along, but that whole episode, the Nicole and Azin wedding special is one of the greatest 90 Day Fiancé things I've ever seen.
Wow.
It's a fucking mess.
Well, anyway, that would stand to reason with those two.
You know what? While you look for your point, let's take a commercial. We'll be right back.
Sibling fights are unavoidable. But what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother. But that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle? Or is it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No, see, now that I'm putting myself out there...
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of MeUndies great new underwear, which makes my important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from MeUndies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from MeUndies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from MeUndies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long, but yes, they are so soft, and the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places,
When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all-black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies' signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cough!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/RealityGaze.
That's MeUndies.com/RealityGaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gifted to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song, To All Our Queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey, our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Gaze is coming to you, so no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, have hope. Keep going, Queens.
Yo, we're back. Do you know what this is my next tea bag. Do you know my favorite thing about this episode was?
What?
Rachel's green dress.
That dress was gorgeous.
I guarantee you. People have said, where can I get this dress? Everyone's looking for that dress. It was kind of like a retro silhouette style. It was
gorgeous.
So well. God, I love Rachel. I'm sad we're never going to see her again.
No, we're not.
Yeah.
We're not. Sadly. But the color was gorgeous too. Yep. Rachel kind of was my favorite thing of the episode, period. Because the color of the dress and also her food looked amazing. Oh, yeah. It looked so good and was so well done.
I will say, to cook Indian food is not easy, y'all.
You cooked it for a bunch of lesbians as well at a bridal shower.
I felt like she was living my life.
And you wanted to wear that green dress while you served.
I did. She looked like Donna Reed.
She did.
I cooked for a lesbian vegetarian bridal party.
You did.
And made all Indian food. And
there were Indian women there that said it tastes as good as their mothers.
I worked really hard to perfect a bunch of recipes on that.
You fucked a lot of Indian guys just to have a lot of Indian in you.
They brought me their mother's pakora recipes. Yeah. I did a lot of work for that.
A lot of work for that.
Anyway, she looked great.
She did.
It was my favorite thing about the episode. I also want to point out that the conversation that Haley had with Camille is another thing. Haley's going to wind up, if she wants to do it, Haley's going to wind up on like three other versions of Below Deck. She's really good on the show. She's funny. She's makes good TV. She offers good sound bites when she needs to. She's what the show is made for.
I agree.
But when you can tell, and fucking Camille wearing that fucking Panama Jack hat, I just want to rip it off her and beat her with it. She's gotten to the point where she was kind of like fun. She was kind of like a trickster. She was starting shit.
No, she's not.
I enjoyed like her the first three or four episodes. Now I'm a little sad to see her go, but I'm ready for her to get destroyed. And I want Captain Sandy to be the one to do it.
She's going
to
do it.
But Haley was talking to Camille and says, you know, she's later in a confessional, Haley says, I think Camille thinks she sometimes gets confused that she's not a guest. And that's precisely the problem. She doesn't think she should have to work.
Haley says, we're actually just on a prison on water.
So go clean a toilet.
Go clean a toilet.
Which is what Ryan told Aisha to do on Below Deck Down Under. But it's okay because Haley is the one saying, so go clean a toilet because we all have to clean a toilet, darling. Haley says, you can't change the way others do things, but you can change the way you deal with those feelings that you're having. And y'all, take that to heart. You cannot change anybody, but you can change your reactions.
Believe me, I'm speaking from experience. But it is what made me laugh, and I guess it's just her age, but this is not a new thing that I've heard or you've heard, but we're
me
also
either.
I was going to bring up, we're in our 40s, but maybe just because she's younger. But did you realize she said it and Camille went like,
oh, that's really good advice. Yeah.
Like she had never thought of that before.
Here's the thing. Haley offered that advice not as someone who's bossing her around, but as a friend and in exactly the manner. And I think if Alyssa talked to Camille in that way, they'd have her on for five more episodes. The problem is, and it's just the mixture of Alyssa's demeanor and how she works, being passive aggressive, and Camille's not wanting to take orders from anyone is just
gunpowder.
It's like a dry forest just waiting for a spark. It's just those two things were necessary to make it how it was. Because if Camille wasn't there, I think they'd have a very drama-free interior.
I agree with that. I agree.
That's basically, and then Ross getting really, really wasted and going over to Camille at the very end, and even Ben saying, "Dude, you're being really aggressive."
Now he tries to make out with Camille in front of Katie and Ben while they're all four in the hot tub.
Yeah, and this
Ben does look hot in his little speedo.
This is why it doesn't make me feel. This is why a department head doing this doesn't make me feel safe.
I get it. He's gross. He's just walking herpes at this point to me. But he also, two things I've noticed in this episode. One, Gigi's wife, Jane, looks like Glenn Close, right?
Yeah, a little bit. I noticed it too.
Okay. And also, I'm going to say her name wrong.
Oh, great.
I figured out who Ross looks like.
Yeah.
Tell me that he doesn't look like Lady Elaine Fairchild from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
That's it!
That's it.
Hello.
The man gets so sunburned. It makes me uncomfortable.
My Lady Elaine Fairchild sounds like Stitch. A little bit from Lilo and Stitch.
I can't.
Family.
I didn't do it. I don't know it well enough, but that's who he looks like Lady Elaine Fairchild.
I've been talking about his rodent-like features, but you're really nailing it with Elaine Fairchild.
Because you don't know if he's an alcoholic or just continuously sunburned. And then I realized when we saw how burnt he was after this, he probably never puts on sunblock.
He also looks like, do you remember Clint Eastwood when he was young? Like a young Clint Eastwood?
Clint Eastwood, kind of an uglier version. Yeah, but I get it.
Like the Wish version.
Right. You said on the first episode, he's going to age terribly. And you're right. Yeah, y'all, in 10 years, he's going to look 20 years older.
Yep. And by the time he's 50, he's going to look 70. It's really bad. Let's just jump in with this whole Camille saga. Y'all, if you were a huge Camille fan, first of all, you're demented.
She did get some dick from Ben. I'll give it to her.
But we think she's probably gone the next episode. So we're going to devote the rest of this episode to her, the kind of undoing of Camille. I think that was a... Sounds like a French Nouveau art film.
I mean,
you may see the undoing of Camille.
They would have just cut to her when she was getting fucked by Ben. He would have been rabbit humping her, and she just would have had one tear coming down her cheek.
And the camera, just like a Truffaut style camera, gets at her face, and she's like, "Oh,
yes."
The undoing of Camille.
Still wearing the hat
from the Criterion collection. Good. I want to talk about, and I think this would have, I think anybody else would have, I think she would have gone earlier, had, and maybe they finessed this to make her stay around longer. I think if Alyssa had went to Fraser and said, I can't work with her, this is a real problem, and Fraser had went to Captain Lee and saying, she's being a real pain in the ass. I think Fraser wanted to look good in front of Captain Lee and look good in front of Captain Sandy and not say anything and think he can handle it. But
because Alyssa did go to him.
Yeah. So the problem, and I think Alyssa's right. I think she's unmanageable. I think when she's completely disregarding orders, people have been fired for a lot less. And yeah, it's like, so the first thing where we're already saying is Captain Sandy comes in and saying, you know, I heard about what you're doing, and I think you should apologize to Alyssa. I think you should apologize. Already, this is like kind of touchy-feely stuff that Captain Lee would never do.
Never, because this was before, we should say that, you know, Alyssa was mad at the end of last episode, but Captain Sandy talked to Alyssa before she talked to Camille.
Yeah, and told her to go to bed, that she would handle it. Micromanaging.
And Alyssa is crying when she was talking to Sandy. And so that's where Sandy like says, like, I will take care of it. And so... anyway, so that's when she tells Camille, yeah, she needs to apologize after that. And Camille she says in her, in the moment, she was like, I'll apologize to play the game, but yeah, I have a tood. I love my tood. Thank God I have a tood. I have an
attitude.
Thank God.
There's something that's kind of breathtaking about watching all her confessionals.
I mean, the confidence of, you talk about this with men, but also the confidence of like a white blonde girl who's dated a quarterback from
Yeah. And she's the prettiest girl in her town.
Yeah. The privilege of this woman that she just walks in a room with thinking she can do really what she wants.
But I just thought of this. Can you imagine what Daisy would have done with something like this from Below Deck Sailing Out? She would have been gone.
She would have been gone. Like, yeah. It really hit me when Camille said, I mean, I do everything. And I went, whoa. You do nothing, girl.
So Camille, the next thing, Camille is talking to Alyssa. And boy, someone give her the Julianne Moore award here. Boy. She's like, I want to take responsibility for my actions. I want to move forward in a more positive way. And Alyssa's like, I am so happy to hear you say that. And even she's not. They're both being fake. And she's like, I'm looking for actions. She's like, you know, we're working our asses off and someone's going to get spanked. And I'm thinking, could you not have just, it's like, why do you both have to passive aggressively battle at each other?
Yeah. Why didn't she just say, thank you so much. That means a lot. Let's have a fresh start. But that is, that is where you don't necessarily see her point, but you can feel sometimes, at least at the beginning, you could feel for Camille a little bit because Alyssa just can't help but just twist the knife at the end all the time. That's what she does.
She really loves being in charge and she makes everyone.
She loves being right. Yeah. Too.
It's gross. So the next thing, y'all, Captain Sandy is up on the bridge.
Yes.
And
you know what? I'm going to stop you.
Oh, God.
I think y'all know what this is. Y'all, it's time for a Below Deck Theater.
Lesbian edition.
Where have all the cowboys gone?
Andy DeFranco, fast libertaire. I'm 30 failures and then some.
Gold medals. All right, shall we?
Yes. Right.
And picture it, interior, Captain's Bridge, beautiful sunny day.
Wow. What a day that the goddesses made. Mm. Yeah. Just enjoying. Oh, who's that?
Oh, hi. Hi, Captain.
Hey,
Camille. It's really beautiful up here. Oh my God.
Yeah.
If I had this view, I'd never leave this view. Like I wouldn't ever want to work if I didn't have to, but got to. But look at this view.
What are you doing here, Perky Tits? I mean, Camille.
I'm just trying to find a place where I can just have a little break because I'm working all the time.
What happens on a yacht, you know?
I mean,
you
know, I know, but
everybody does their part.
I know, but it's just like every time I turn, someone's tasking me.
Yeah, you know, when I was working when I was making my, people tasked me all the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes I get tasked 10 or 12 times in a day. Sometimes we all need a good tasking. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm trying to do what you said, and I'm just trying to be better. I apologize, you know.
I'm just
doing all my work, doing everything that I do. You know, I'm doing everything for everybody.
Yeah, I see you.
Watching my mouth. Watching my mouth.
Yeah. Gotta watch that fresh mouth of yours. Pretty mouth, but a fresh one.
Really?
You ever remember the woman in the commercials, Martha Ray, with the dentures? She had a fresh mouth. You got a fresh mouth, too. You know, the woman had a big mouth. Martha Ray, like you, she had like 50 teeth in her mouth.
Yeah, I don't.
On television before you were born, probably.
Yeah.
Dentures.
Can I leave now?
Yeah, get out of here.
Okay, bye.
What are we going to do about Hood of Puffers? What are we going to do with that one? Oh, talking about a fresh mouth.
Wow.
I don't think...
I never thought we would have a Martha Ray
reference. Okay, that's all... Those are all... No one knows that except for people who are already on Social Security. I only know Martha Ray because time with my grandmother.
Yes.
Yes. The fresh mouth. That's what they called me. I'm Martha Ray. The fresh mouth. But you remember, she called herself the Fresh Mouth.
She did call herself the Fresh Mouth.
Wow.
Wow.
God, I am 84 years old.
Your words. That right there.
Anyway, it's just, y'all.
Y'all, it gets worse because Sandy, basically, yeah, she says she's up there. And basically, Sandy kind of is like, get out of my fucking bridge.
Yeah.
And she says, just go take a rest somewhere. That's all Captain Sandy says to her.
Yeah. She basically says, if you've gotten everything done, go take a break.
Meanwhile, Rachel asks Camille, because Camille was helping her wash dishes, and she messages Camille and says, hey, Camille.
Are you done with the silverware?
Are you done with the silverware? And Camille said, well, I'm taking a 30-minute. Captain Sandy told me to take a 30-minute break. And you see
Captain
Rachel go,
Sandy's
okay.
Right there. Hey, Camille, don't throw me under the bus.
Camille.
Don't throw me under the bus. Y'all, this is when Camille was gone.
Yep.
This is something Captain Sandy will not forget.
No.
This is it. This Camille, is the moment.
Like, and she knows she implodes. She's like in the bedroom going, what have I got to do? What have I got to do? I got everything ready.
Everyone's my manager.
I don't know. And Captain Sandy says, I have to say, kudos for Captain Sandy saying, but this is also her way of saying, I'm telling you I understand, but I really don't give a fuck. But it's perfect, Sandy, where she says, I'm going to give her a little bit of grace because I get what it's like having two boss heads. I get it.
Well, here's the problem. This should have never gone this far to Captain Sandy. She should not be handling this. This is Fraser's and Ross's job.
Well, can we talk about the conversation of Fraser and Camille afterwards? Because
yes.
Well, what happens, just to kind of bookmark it for everyone, is then
Sandy says someone's going to make a schedule for you.
So because Camille comes up and apologizes for that and is crying, and she finds out Camille wants a schedule. And so she originally tells Camille, you're going to make a schedule of how to split your duties. However... Yep. Ross and everyone comes up, and Captain Sandy said, I've decided she's just going to be interior,
Ross
and that's
like,
it.
Oh, he's very
Ross
excited.
Goes, oh, and you see Camille go, because she wants nothing to do with interiors.
So
that's where we are. Yeah.
Fraser basically confronts her and says, you're not communicating with me, blah, blah, blah. That's not really true.
So I want to say, like, Fraser comes at her hard, angry that she went to Captain Sandy, but I wanted to say, but you didn't handle the problem.
Yeah, you didn't have the problem. You're too afraid to say anything to Alyssa because she's your second, and you want her to be your best friend, and he's basically letting Alyssa do all the bossing around with Camille. Yep. So he's perpetuating the problem.
Because Camille says, I just feel like she gives me everything that no one wants to do. And Fraser even says, yeah, what's the problem with that?
Yeah.
And I was like, that's like, not a supportive thing to say as a leader.
Yeah, it's kind of like, see, Captain Sandy would not like this because you're supposed to lift, you have to lift. I got to support people. Are you in it to win it? Are you in it to win it?
Because I'm in it to win it. I work so hard. So you're working hard with me.
You're going to want to be like me.
You're going to work hard because I'm working much harder than you. Much, much harder than you.
So, and then she even says to him, you're not around, which is probably what she's meaning there is he never asks her how she's doing.
Yeah.
And probably just expects Alyssa to do it all. And maybe that's what he thinks the second stew should do. Because, but basically, It's really weird. I can't figure out how that's the Stu relationship works, because Haley's always doing her own thing, it looks like. And Alyssa's always kind of like telling what Camille to do.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
They both have Camille and Alyssa both have valid points to their frustrations.
And Fraser says, "Are you fucking mental?" So again, none of this is helpful.
That's unhelpful.
The only
he
other
looks
thing,
cute doing it.
He is. I think he's so cute.
He
this
looks
season.
Good
so,
this season.
Y'all, Alyssa is just so pissed that Camille has been MIA, and she's like, I was bringing Ben coffee because he's been up for 2 hours. She's like, let Ben get his own coffee, and then Camille
they just were
says,
making out. They were just making out.
Yeah, just making out on the bridge. And Camille says, I'm going to do what I please. And again, she has been able to say something like this because Alyssa has been passive aggressive with her and not showing her where boundaries were.
And Alyssa just responds and says, well, you can say wherever you want somewhere else.
She can. And the thing is, she would not say that to Fraser.
No. So, well, she does say to Fraser, I think she would, because she said, remember when he was talking to her and he basically said, I don't remember exactly. Oh, he's like, because Fraser said it is in the moment. She doesn't want to work, period. She's looking for an excuse not so she can work better. She's looking for an excuse to not work and take a vacation.
Yeah.
And Fraser says he kind of reads her for that in a way. And she says, looks at him dead in the face and says, well, I'll let you have that opinion of me, but I'm never going to think that. Who fucking
True.
Says that to
no,
their boss?
I agree. I agree with you. I think it's not as, I don't think it's as simple as that she doesn't want to work. I think if you put her in a situation where she has clear boundaries and she knows what she has to do, she will kind of, but she will always be looking for a way to lock off.
I agree with you in that she needs clear boundaries, but I don't think she's going to work that hard either.
I totally agree with you. I think I'm saying that's not her main problem, that she doesn't
want to
work.
I don't know what her history has been, but where she's worked before, she has floated on by, and this bitch thought she was going to be on a reality show, and she probably thought mm-hmm. all the work was fake.
Right. I think she's probably worked harder on this job than she's ever worked.
Yes, and
that's
why
she
so
keeps
upset.
Saying things. Yeah.
I think that's more why she's upset more than anything. Yes, because she's not heard, but I do think she's the most upset about anything is that she's just the most angry that she's just had to work.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I just don't think that's the root of the problem. I think it's something else. I think she usually thinks she's being consulted. She also wants just to have fun. And she thought that this would be more fun, and it's drudgery.
It's work.
And
it's a prison in the water.
This last bit here that Camille is, or Alyssa says, can you bring out the Veuve Clicquot? And I guess on the radio, Camille says, I don't have time for this shit. Right?
Yeah.
And of course, Captain Sandy hears it, because y'all, she is always on that fucking radio and she hears everything.
She hears everything.
And then she brings Camille up to the bridge and says, you have this charter to prove to me that you want to be on this boat. No more pushback. No more. And that's when she's already kind of over her. Y'all, now Captain Sandy is looking for a reason. Looking for a reason. Trying to know the night to find my place in this world. Michael W. Smith.
No, I was just letting you play out. He just did Amy Grant's thing at the Kennedy Center. It was so good. Him and the Winans. Cece and B.B. Winans. Okay, B.B. Winans can fucking get it. That man is hot, and when he sings, I just want him to dick me down and sing about the Lord.
I feel like they're anti-gay.
Are they? I don't know. they wouldn't be with me. I don't know anything about the personal life of the Winans, yeah. But I'd love to hear them sing.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm thinking of another gospel people. I think
the Amy Grant tribute for the Kennedy Center Honors was really good. It was really good.
I didn't watch the Kennedy Center Honors. I was on a plane.
You can watch it, y'all, on Paramount Plus.
They're not a sponsor. So anyway,
they're not.
To Fraser, she basically Captain Sandy says, "I want to know the moment there's pushback." And y'all, the next scene,
she's gone,
and that's why she's gone next episode. I think she's probably going to quit. I have a feeling because
I think she'll quit too.
Y'all, and so she's screaming in the room. She's kind of having a breakdown. She's like, "Get out of here, Alyssa. Dead ass serious. Get out of here." And Alyssa's like, "What? I'm just doing the bed." And yeah, I think probably right after this, she quits. I have a feeling.
Yeah.
That's why we weren't shown.
Because Captain Sandy, before she talked to Fraser, Captain Sandy called Camille up and told her, "You've got the, like you said, the charter." That's what sent Camille off, as she went back down. It was like, can't do anything. So anyway.
That's the show.
Oh, it was a good episode of Below Deck, y'all. You're right.
It was a good one.
She's going to be gone, and I'm going to miss her. And I'm calling it now. She won't come to the reunion.
I don't know. That's...
Well, although she's so... She is a fame whore, and she's so has no awareness, absolutely no awareness. So she might show
I up. I think she will come to the reunion.
A no awareness thing will, yeah.
I think unless she leaves in a complete and utter ball of kind of shame, she'll come. Yeah,
she'll come. Y'all, that's it. That's your Below Deck. Good episode. All right, you know the drill. You can go to realitygaze.com. We had no 90 Day Fiancé this week. Yes, the tell all aired, but we were on vacation having we're going to talk
about
it
at the beginning of next
week. So then we can listen to that then. So
don't look January's and ask us where that episode is. Was always Carl's wife.
We're going to have a good we've got Darcy and Stacey coming up this month. We've got Extreme Sisters coming up. We've got January is going to be raw dogging you, y'all.
Yep. A lot of content.
It's going to be good. All right. We'll see you next time. But until then, y'all, it's
Anchors again.
Sibling fights are unavoidable. But what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.